fight
for the future is now.
This is the War Room with Owen Schroyer at Infowars.com/show.
Preliminary studies from National Toxicology Program looking at 2G and 3G look like it can possibly cause heart tumors and brain tumors in rats, not people, mind you, rats, but change cells in the brain and cause ringing in the ears. So we don't know the long-term health risk, and I'm not willing to take that off the table, especially since 5G is closer to you because it doesn't, it's faster and it's higher definition, but it doesn't travel as far. So I need to see longer-term studies on this.
See the forbidden news at Infowars.com. We need your support more than ever, so go to InfowarsStore.com. Get the best products that you need and help keep our reporters on the front lines in the fight for freedom. Sure, 5G means more devices at mega-fast speeds, low delays, and your personal files will instantly pop out of the cloud. But the 5G rollout is rife with so many issues threatening human health and civil liberties that it's simply easier for the Mockingbird media to sell you a stack of positives rather than address the mountain of negatives.
Self-driving cars, smart cities, fully connected homes, robots. This is the future, and it will be powered by 5G. 5G signals are powerful, but they don't reach as far. Making it work will require thousands, maybe even millions of mini cell phone towers pretty much everywhere you can imagine. Like every lamppost, the side of every building, maybe even in every room of your home.
Self-driving cars, for example, require a continuous stream of data. The quicker that information is delivered to autonomous vehicles, the better and safer they can run.
For many analysts, this is just one example of how 5G could become the connective tissue for the Internet of Things, an industry that's set to grow threefold by 2025, linking and controlling not just robots, but also medical devices, industrial equipment, and agricultural machinery.
Meanwhile, the federal government just signs off on big tech's blank check. They will just deal with the repercussions later. Why not? Congress is so unaccountable. Liability is at an all-time joke level. Why not let a massive unknown potential health threat spread itself throughout every city and suburb across the United States?
The only way we have a deployable, secure 5G system is either with Nokia, Ericsson, Samsung, or some combination of them. American telecom companies are playing and will play a central role in the deployment of 5G, both in the United States and globally. But in terms of developing affordable and deployable equipment sets, we've got to work closely with trusted allies.
Coming to a street lamp near you, right? 300,000 of them are going to sprout up in the United States. And preliminary studies from National Toxicology Program looking at 2G and 3G look like it can possibly cause heart tumors and brain tumors in rats. Not people, mind you, rats. But change cells in the brain and cause ringing in the ears. So we don't know the long-term health risk, and I'm not willing to take that off the table, especially since 5G is closer to you because it doesn't, it's faster and it's higher definition, but it doesn't travel as far. So I need to see longer-term studies on this.
Why is 5G a risk? 5G is ultra-high frequency and intensity, which is further compounded by the millimeter waves that don't travel through objects or as far as 4G or 3G. Add to that, more mini cell towers must be installed because the current cell towers can't accommodate 5G. As RadiationHealthRisks.com writes, it is estimated that they will need a mini cell tower every 2 to 8 houses. This will greatly increase our RF radiation exposure. All cell towers emit radio frequency radiation. This is what makes them dangerous. 5G can support up to a million devices per square kilometer.
The full report can be found at Infowars.com from John Bowne. And when we come back, we'll have more news on the other side of this break. Don't go anywhere.
Yeah.
InfoWars.com War Room, brought to you by InfoWarsStore.com on this Tuesday, May 28th, 2019. Back in the saddle here after hosting 3 hours of the Alex Jones Show, so I'm a little burnout on political news coverage, but I do have it all in front of me. I had a slate of great guests coming up. I still do. Gerald Celente coming up in just about 25 minutes. Elijah Schaefer from Slightly Offensive was supposed to be with me in the second hour. We're hoping he can still join me. Maybe not, though. And then David Kohlhepp from Two Classy Gents podcast on YouTube is going to join me. I did an interview with him on his YouTube channel, and there was a subject that we were talking about that was so amazing to me. He had a couple stories that I just had to bring him on the War Room to talk about that, what he has seen on his campus just being a Trump supporter. So that's what's coming up here today on the War Room. And then I think probably a lot of your calls. I would expect to be taking a lot of your calls, especially if my guest does not join me in the second hour. But let me just do this because it's on my mind and people are asking me about it. It's not the most important thing, and you may or may not have even heard about it, but it's on my mind and people are asking me about it because I've been providing commentary on Twitter in the last hour. So the story is Kyle Kashuv, when he was a younger individual in high school, was writing extremely racist stuff against black people. And I've never talked about this or covered this because Kyle Kashuv is really irrelevant to me. He's basically the conservative response to David Hogg. And, you know, we tried to get him on, and he basically got ingratiated by the establishment conservatives, demonized away from InfoWars. And so, you know, how that story goes. But I haven't been commenting on this story because I've been waiting to see something, and I've seen enough now to go ahead and provide a little commentary. So let me explain why this is an important story. And it really has nothing to do with Kyle Kashuv, other than the fact that he's just the center of the story. He just is the story. These old things that he said about black people. I mean, it's just straight up racist. I mean, so I'm going to try my best to explain why this is an important thing for people to see here. Again, it's not about Kyle Kashuv. It's about the response. So, I mean, I never talked about the individual. As soon as I saw him being ingratiated by Ben Shapiro, we knew where that was going to go. But what you're seeing now is the establishment conservative voices like a Ben Shapiro and others that I really don't want to get into infighting and name dropping. You can do the research for yourself if you really care to. Are all rushing to the defense of Kashuv saying, oh, he was just a child when he said it. Well, I agree. When you're young and dumb, you do say some stupid things. You don't say racist things. That's totally different. These are conscious statements made that are blatantly racist. And again, I don't even care. I don't talk to the guy. I've never met him. We don't have him on the show. I never promoted him. He wanted nothing to do with us because he got scared away. And it turns out, looks like that was a good thing. But here's why this is important. Notice the same people who were so quick to throw Alex Jones under the bus are the same people that are so quick to stand up for Kyle Kashuv. Now, why do I tell you this? Because there are a certain sect of conservatives that really want nothing to do with the Trump movement. That's not to say they don't support Trump, they don't actually like Trump, or that the stuff that they're doing doesn't support and help Trump and overall the America First agenda that we're all behind. They will throw Donald Trump under the bus tomorrow if they think it's advantageous for them personally. That's what you need to know about this. So the reason why they're so quick to stand up for Kyle Kashuv and so quick to throw Alex Jones under the bus is because they have no loyalty other than to themselves. And they ingratiated Kashuv into the establishment conservative media with Fox News and Ben Shapiro. But you notice how the left is rather silent on this issue as well, because you see they work together. And so, again, to me, the story isn't even about Cashew. If he was young, he was dumb. Maybe he was a racist then. Maybe he still is. Maybe he still isn't. The point is, the same people, and again, I didn't talk about this for a week because I wanted to see where the cards ended up falling. But I saw enough today to understand what's going on. The same people that rushed to throw Alex Jones under the bus are the exact same people that rushed to defend Kyle Kashuv. It's all about themselves. It's all about protecting their conservative establishment in the media. So they'll throw Alex Jones under the bus. They'll throw anybody under the bus. They'll throw Cernovich under the bus. They'll throw Loomer under the bus. They will throw anyone under the bus if they think it's advantageous to them. And they view us as competition. They know that we're fearless. They know that we don't have an agenda. And they know they can't compete with us. So they have to throw us immediately under the bus, but then rush to defend their own cohorts when they get caught up in racist activity. So I just want to explain this. There's certain commentators you're seeing rushing to the defense of Kashuv and his statement saying he was just a kid. These individuals will throw anyone under the bus for their own political advantage. And believe me, they would have done the exact same thing to Kyle Kashuv if they hadn't already invested in him as the future of the Fox News Ben Shapiro establishment. That's what this is all about. It's all about protecting their establishment, protecting the one they deemed would be their future, and rushing to defend that while throwing anybody and everybody else under the bus that they can to protect their own establishment. And again, I don't want to name names. I don't do the infighting here, but I've seen them all now. And it kind of goes back to something else that, look, if you really want to get an idea, it's most of the people you see on Fox News, okay? I mean, if you really just want to have an idea of where to look. But it's like, it really is like high school all over again, where people just talk trash behind people's backs and they think that somehow legitimizes them. And InfoWars is one of the biggest target of these people. And it's funny because they really think people hate InfoWars and don't like Alex Jones or don't like Owen Schroyer or don't like Millie Weaver or don't like Caitlin Bennett. And so they get into these conservative establishment hives, most of the people that go on Fox News, and they talk trash about InfoWars and they talk trash about Alex Jones. And they think that everybody agrees and is listening and nodding their head. No, they're not. They're just coming back to let us know who you really are. And I don't even care because we don't need their endorsement. In fact, I'd rather have them attacking us. It makes us even better. It tells me that we're doing something right where even the establishment conservatives hate us. But understand this, and I'm going to drop it at this. People want to call on it, it's fine. It's not about Kyle Kashuv. The kid obviously made racist statements. This is the David Hogg of the conservatives. Now, imagine if David Hogg would have made those statements. These same conservatives defending Kashuv would have thrown Hogg under the bus immediately, and you know it. These are selfish people. Yes, they may align themselves politically with us, but they don't really care. They align themselves with themselves. They will at the beginning of the day, and they will at the end of the day. So just understand, the same people that rush to the defense of Kyle Kashuv are the same people that rush to the attack of Alex Jones, because they'll throw anyone under the bus. They'll do whatever it is they think will appease the establishment. That's all it is about for them. It's all about being the biggest and having the most attention on them, not about the truth, not about what's right, and you now know who it is.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
Well, I won't back down. No, I won't back down. You can stand me up at the gates of hell, but I won't back down.
We've got Gerald Celente coming up in the next segment. We may or may not be joined by Elijah Schaefer in the second hour. If not, I'll open up the phone lines. And then David Kohlhepp is joining me from the Two Classy Gentlemen podcast to talk about some stuff he experienced on his college campus that he talked to me about when I went on his podcast as a guest, and it was so shocking to me, I had to bring him on to talk about it. It's really unbelievable that students deal with this, honestly. So that's what's coming up. And I've got some other news that I'll cover. But, you know, it's really sad. It's really sad that you have cowards that call themselves conservatives or whatever. It really doesn't even matter. That you have cowards that celebrate Alex Jones being censored off the internet. They claim to be Trump supporters. These people didn't support Trump until the wind blew in the right direction. And I hate doing this because this is something that honestly bothers me behind the scenes. And it only bothers me because I'm never going to go on air and call these people out because we don't do infighting here. But it just really sucks knowing that there's a lot of popular conservatives out there that will throw anybody and everybody under the bus tomorrow if they think it works best for them or if it fits the overall establishment agenda. Because they just want to be on TV. They just want to be popular. They want to have the most followers. They want to get the big book deals. And if you squash out everybody else, that means more for them. And that's how they view it. And then they pose as self-righteous and high and mighty, even though they're just as low as the average leftist that wants Alex Jones censored from the internet. And I'm not going to name names again, but because a lot of them do great work. We play a lot of their content, in fact. But at the end of the day, they won't be there. If the money dries up, they won't be there. If they think they say something that might get them censored, they'll say the opposite to stick around. And it's just sad. It's just sad. Because they really pose like they're looking out for America. They're looking out for the truth. They're looking out for conservative values. They are just looking out for themselves. And that's it. And we know who you are. We do. You think that you talk around D.C. and people don't hear it? You know, people actually like InfoWars more than most of these people, and they just haven't realized it yet because we're the ones that got censored. But we still have a bigger audience than these people. They just don't get it yet. But you know what? Something tells me that the 2020 election cycle may give us a reminder of who these people really were and who they were the whole time. Because let's not forget, until July of 2016, Fox News and most other conservatives were anti-Trump. The big Trump supporters now that do the viral videos and act like they are all about Trump the whole time, they were anti-Trump until the wind blew in the right direction. They sounded like the average leftist liberal out there before Trump won the nomination. He's a clown. He's not running for real. He's racist. Look at the tapes. They all did it. And they thought we didn't have a memory. And that we wouldn't remember who they really were. But let's see if they don't out themselves again, just to remind us who the fake conservatives really are out there during the 2020 election campaign, which is up and coming. So Gerald Celente is going to join me in the next segment, and we'll talk about some economic news. He's always fired up and loaded for bear, so he's going to be joining us. But we've got specials happening right now, Memorial Day mega sale at InfoWarsStore.com. And you'll notice something if you're a regular audience member here of the War Room. Whenever I open up the phone lines, the top subject that people call in about are not even what I'm talking about on air, whether it's, you know, President Trump or Mueller or Bill Barr or, you know, any of the other stuff that goes on that we cover every day. It's the supplements at InfoWarsStore.com. They call in. They talk about the bodies. They talk about the Turbo Force. They talk about the Super Blue fluoride-free toothpaste. They talk about the air filters and the water filters. It's incredible. And so if you haven't tried the supplements for yourself, what are you waiting for? And if you've been waiting for the Memorial Day mega sale, well, that's here right now. So take advantage. 60% off some of the top-selling supplements at InfoWarsStore.com. 50% off top-selling supplements like Bodies, like Super Male Vitality, like the brand-new 8-pack Power Stack supplement routine. For 50% off, it's all at InfoWarsStore.com. And, you know, you know what happens. When all the InfoWars haters out there see that we're still allowed to broadcast, and then they see that you actually share our stuff on your own YouTube channels, on your own Facebook pages, that drives them crazy. But nothing drives them crazier than you supporting us at InfoWarsStore.com. Because believe me, folks, as many people on the left that want to see us shut down, that just come out and say it, I actually give them props. They're more honest than the people on the right that want to shut down. But believe me, people on the quote-unquote conservative side of the aisle want InfoWars shut down just as much as those on the left. And so they'll never come out and say it, but believe me, they want us shut down too. For them, it's more selfish purposes. But when you support us at InfoWarsStore.com, the opponents of InfoWars on the left and the right, well, they're just going to have to continue to sit back and watch us win. So thank you so much for your support at InfoWarsStore.com. Take advantage of the Memorial Day mega sale. Big discounts on hats, on t-shirts, on the supplements. We've got discounts right now on the air filters, on the water filters. These are game-changing, life-changing products, ladies and gentlemen, at InfoWarsStore.com. And, of course, your support at InfoWarsStore.com helps us to beat the censorship. All right, so on the other side, we're going to be joined by Gerald Celente. We'll see what is on his mind, trendsresearch.com. He's always following economic news. Maybe he'll want to talk about the Chinese trade war that they've been waging against America for decades, and then Trump decides he's actually going to fight back, and not even really fight back, but just stand his ground. And then Western media says, oh my gosh, it's a trade war. Well, who are they really aligned with if it's not a trade war when China is raking us over the coals? But as soon as the president wants to just stand up for America, all of a sudden it's a trade war. But that's just what you get from the anti-American media, from the corrupt, bought and paid for media funded by big pharmaceutical companies. Yeah, that's just what you get. So Gerald Celente joins me next. And we'll get into his mind and see what he's thinking right now. We'll be right back.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show. This is The War Room with Owen Schroyer. Watch the live stream at Infowars.com/show.
The calm before the storm. As the 2020 election season is going to be heating up in just about a month, what does that mean for trends in the economy? Nobody better to ask than Gerald Celente from trendsresearch.com at Gerald Celente on Twitter. We'll get into his mind right now on what he's thinking. But Gerald, apparently the crew said you had a... Hold on, let me get an image shot of Gerald here. Well, let's see. Where is Gerald today? Is he in his in-home greenhouse garden? Is he floating out on a beach somewhere? Is he in Italy enjoying a fine wine? I really don't even know where Gerald is right now. I'm still waiting to find out if I could just see Gerald. If I could just see Gerald. There he is. Okay, so he's at the in-home greenhouse today. All right, Gerald. Welcome to the War Room.
Thanks for having me, Owen. Actually, this is part of our office. We have a very big building up here, and all those plants behind me, I take care of all of them. There's about, in this building, there are about almost 200 plants, and I water all of them and take care of them because I got to write about all the ugly garbage going on in the world and talk about it. So to me, the antidote to fear is beauty. So I try to surround myself with beauty.
Well, are you too far from that community garden that AOC started? You weren't the one planting that racist cauliflower that she reported on, were you?
No. Actually, what I am next to is the most historic Four Corners in the United States. And they just actually this past weekend, they just dedicated it. And it's the only intersection in the United States with pre-Revolutionary War stone buildings on each corner.
And you actually got one of those buildings a while ago when you started the Trends Research Journal, didn't you?
Yes, actually, I own three of them, three of the four. The other's a museum. And I did it for the passion of it and because it's a statement about being an American. The seeds of democracy was sown up here. John Jay, the Chief Justice, was a judge over at this courthouse that's right over my shoulder. And over 80% of America's Constitution came from the Constitution that was written in Kingston, New York. This was the first capital, and the British burnt it down. They moved it to Albany. So I did it because I bought the buildings, not as a real estate guy, but as a passion to be an American. And if I was born in Alta Villa Erpina or Vica Quenza in Italy and not born in the Bronx, I'd be a totally different man. So I bought them because, as I said, the seeds of democracy was sown here. And I cherish the freedom that I was given to be who I want to be. Of course, now we're losing that as the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution are being raped and robbed from us, from the political freaks and fools that people call Republicans and Democrats.
Well, and it is amazing that the left, it used to be, was the side, or you could say the party of free speech. I mean, right, the liberals were all about free speech, all about the First Amendment. Well, that has shifted. I'm not sure if you want to put a date on it or when it began, but I think there's no doubt now the liberals in America are anti-free speech and conservatives are pro-free speech now.
Yeah, you have it. And it's global. Matter of fact, it's one of our top trends for 2019. It was censorship 2019. No, the Democrats have become the War Hawk Party. I mean, they're disgusting as to me, the Republicans. You know, I launched from those four corners. I launched Occupy Peace. I had Ralph Nader here, Cindy Sheehan, the woman that camped out in front of George Bush's place, Robert Thurman, Uma Thurman's father, and others. So I put my money in my heart where my mouth is. And again, I honor the founding fathers. No foreign entanglements. George Washington's farewell address. And how about that guy, Eisenhower, 5-star general, supreme commander of the Allied forces during World War II, warning us in his farewell address on January 20th, 1961, that the military-industrial complex is robbing the nation of the genius of the scientists, sweat of the laborers, and future of the children. And here we are. The business of America is war. The business of China is business. You asked where am I today? I just got back from the Philippines. I was there for a couple of weeks. China's buying up the whole place. They're buying up the world. They're buying up the ports. So anyway, that's why I launch and do what I do, is to bring freedom and democracy back to America at the level that our founding fathers wanted it, not the politicians that are stealing it from us. And you're 100%. The liberals are the biggest frauds out there. The conservatives believe, whether you agree or disagree with what the conservatives believe in, which I disagree with a lot of it, they believe in it. The liberals lie about what they believe in. You call Obama the Nobel Peace of Crap Prize winner, a murderer. Oh, no, don't say that about Obama. He didn't destroy Libya as much as Bush destroyed Iraq. Oh, no, it was great what he did in Syria. Oh, yeah, Assad has to go. No, it's great what he did with bailing out the banksters. So the liberals are a bunch of gutless, courageless hypocrites. And they're not far from me over here. Woodstock, New York is only 15 minutes away. So you can see them all with their quiche-eating grin and balsamic smiles. They're the biggest hypocrites in America.
Well, I don't know where to go with you. I want to get into the trends you're expecting coming up in the next segment, but you mentioned something interesting there about the Philippines. I didn't think Duterte was going to put up with that, with China coming in, building islands, militarizing the South China Sea. Or what are your thoughts on the current president of the United States, Donald Trump, calling out the military-industrial complex?
Well, he does to an extent, but then look what's going on now with Venezuela and Iran. So, yeah, and Duterte, you know, China's buying up the place. He's making deals with them. They're doing this Belt and Road Initiative, BRI. China's buying up ports all over the world, putting infrastructure throughout Africa. It's more than just Eurasia. They're going to be down in South America and putting countries deep in debt, too.
Because, look, there's great books out there. John Perkins, Economic Hitman. And people complain about, you know, the West doing this stuff and America doing this type of stuff. China does it, too, but they go, nobody complains. What is up with that?
You see, China's doing it in a different way. They're not doing it in a war way. They're doing it in a different way. So they're putting them in debt differently than the International Mafia Federation, International Monetary Federation does it. So they do it in a different way. They're buying it up. They're buying their resources. Look, in a couple of years, Owen, China's going to have the world's largest gross domestic product. They're deep in debt. It's the government runs the corporations. It's an inside-out government. In other words, the state enterprise operations, SEOs, the government tells you what to do. In America, we have an outside-in government. The corporations have the flunkies that they call politicians and tell them what to do. So it's not a unified pitch. Look, having said what I said, China's in deep trouble. They went from a debt level of about $900 billion before they joined the World Trade Organization. They came in 2000, officially in 2001. But they had about $900 billion in debt. Today, they have over $40 trillion in debt. The government, their greatest fear are its people. They used to report, they'd have like 30, 40,000 major protests a year in China. The people getting paid lousy wages, tired of what's going on. They don't report that anymore. So China has a lot of problems. But what they're doing is, so do a lot of other nations. So they're taking advantage of that. They're even rebuilding the port in Trieste, Italy. That's how bad it's gotten.
Well, let's get into the trends that you see coming, what the censorship means if there are people out there that have stock in, say, Facebook, who's looking at all kinds of troubles on the horizon. But it might not just be Facebook. It might be all of them. Gerald Celente, trendsresearch.com. We're going to find out what Gerald's top trends are for the summer of 2019. You're not going to want to miss this.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
Secret microphone in Gerald Celente's basement, and I caught him playing this guitar right here. Go ahead and play that a little bit. That's not bad for a rank amateur guitar player, Gerald Celente. Like I said, I was just spying on him a little bit. I just put a recording device in his basement. I didn't even expect to hear him playing the guitar, or he starts singing too. So Gerald Celente is with us now, trendsresearch.com. I want to know what Gerald Celente's trends are for this summer, as the 2020 election cycle is about to really kick off. So, Gerald Celente from the Trends Research Journal, what are your trends that you're monitoring for this summer?
Let me give you a quick example of how current events form future trends and what we do, and I'll show you exactly what's going to happen with the economy. This is right from the Global Times Chinese newspaper. Chinese Premier Li stressed tax cuts and fee reductions to stimulate market vitality, ensure employment, and achieve a steady and healthy economic development. Next, Wall Street Journal. Export slump takes toll on Europe, without going into the details. Eurozone manufacturing declines. Another one, Financial Times. today again. Emerging stock funds suffer $3.8 billion outflow in the past week. Just to make this really clear, there's a global slowdown, Owen. Going back to the presidential reality show in America, and by the way, what I support Trump on totally are the border issues and renegotiating trade deals. So it's not, I'm not a believer in a system, in a person, in a one-way thinking. I don't belong to a thinking club. I'm not a Democrat, a Republican, liberal. I'm just an open-minded person. And that's the way you have to be in the trends business. So I support him on issues that I think are going to be helpful to the nation. So going back to where we're going with the economy and the presidential reality show, the economy's slowing down. You're going to start seeing, we have forecast in the last Trends Journal that corporate profits have peaked. They're going to start coming down from now. You're going to see a slowdown. What does that mean? They said there's a global one going on already. Watch those interest rates go lower. So we're going to see a 30-year mortgage, which is around now about 4.3%. You're going to see it under 4%. We've already said in our last Trends Journal, it just went out last week, we put out a monthly, that the markets have peaked as well, the equity markets. So we think we're at right near the peak. They could go up a little more, but they don't have a lot of juice left in them. So what we're going to see more and more is more actions for stimulus, not only in the United States, but as I pointed out, around the world.
So would you say then it's a good time to be buying property?
Well, I don't give financial advice, but I would say it's a good time. Well, I would say if you have something on the market that you want to sell, this is an excellent time for it because they're going to lower interest rates and it's going to bring in more buyers. Go back. I'll give you an example. You go back to December of last year, December 2018. Southern California, home sales were down 20% because the 30-year mortgage was around 5%. Now, if you go back to last week's news, hey, new mortgage applications surged 8% because rates went down. So they're going to keep the system going. We don't see a recession hitting America unless there's a wild card. And one of those wild cards could be spiking oil prices if war breaks out. You never know the wild cards, whether it's man-made or made by Mother Nature. That's why I say I'm not a futurist. Nobody can predict the future. So minus a wild card, we don't see a recession setting in. They're going to do everything they can to pump the economy up. And the way we see the election forming at this point, again, where we are now, it looks like Biden versus Trump. And what Trump has to watch out for is Biden getting votes in the swing states because that's all this election is going to be based on. And B.S. Biden is really liked in Pennsylvania. So if he wins Pennsylvania and gets one or two other swing states, he could beat Trump. Other than that, it's Trump.
Well, I got to disagree with you. I don't think that Biden is very popular anywhere. And I think for some reason they're trying to build up this popularity because they want to force him to be the Democrat nominee. He's not even the most popular Democrat. As far as I can see, it's still Bernie Sanders. But you really think that? Because I agree with you. I think Biden's going to be the nominee. I just think they're forcing him down the Democrat voters' throats. I don't think the Democrats actually want him. Do you disagree with that?
Oh, no. I agree with you 100%. The Democrats don't want him, but the party is pushing him. You could call him Hillary in drag.
Oh.
All right? It's the same thing.
Who would you rather have grope you, Hillary or Joe Biden?
Neither.
No, you have to choose one.
I said to you before, I surround myself with beauty, you know? So the thing is, I agree with you. The Democratic Party's pushing him. And if he wins the nomination because they're pushing him, because who else do they have? And again, the polls are showing. Oh, here's the other thing. The Democrats, the party wants it safe. They know that Trump is going to destroy Bernie on the socialist capitalist issue. So the Democratic Party is going to play it safe. And they want tranquility. They want safety. They want unity. And that's what they're going to sell with Biden. Although he's a nobody moron born on, you know, a loser. Nothing that he's ever done has appealed to me or has been good for the country as I see it. But again, as you pointed out so well, the party is behind him.
Now, what does this do to affect the market, specifically if polls start coming out, which they already are, you know, saying, oh, Trump's going to lose. Trump's way behind in the polls. Oh, this is bad news for his trade deals. Bad news for this. Doesn't that increase market volatility when there question marks arise like that, whether they're legitimate or not?
Not really. That's for the political consumer. The gamblers in the market are looking at very different issues. And by the way, one of the big ones is not trade wars. That's a lot of BS. They've been saying that for 3 years. And here we are at the end of May. Go back exactly 1 month from today. 1 month from today, and the S&P 500 and the NASDAQ hit an all-time high. So if it was trade wars, would the markets be where they are from when Trump came in 2000, when he won the election in 2016? No, they'd be way down. It's not trade wars. There's not a trade war going on. It's going to be a trade readjustment. I just read to you the problems that they see in China and what they're doing to everything they can to stimulate the economy with tax breaks, changing loan restrictions, on and on, because they need to pump up the economy because 80%, nearly 80% of their economy is consumer-based. It's not about trade. They got 1.4 billion people there and they need them to buy stuff. So what you're hearing about the trade wars is minor. If you put all Trump's tariffs on China's gross domestic product, it comes to the grand total of 0.6%. So there's bigger issues out there. And the big issue is cheap money. It's only cheap money. Monetary methadone that got us out of the Great Recession that hit in 2008. Zero negative interest rate policy, quantitative easing. Oh, did you know this one? Do you know how much the Federal Reserve gave to the banksters? According to Bloomberg, $9 trillion. According to the Levy Institute that just published this, $29 trillion the Federal Reserve pumped into the banksters. So when you see what's going on and why people are going toward, we want socialism, income inequality, that's one of the reasons why. Because median household income is still below 1999 levels in America.
Well, and I'm looking at the quote unquote trade war with China, and you know, President Trump has all the cards in his hand, but what is keeping him from playing them? Why is China still able to kind of just rule over the U.S. with these unfair trade deals?
Because of the media, because of the people that censor us. That's why. Look at BS Bernie Sanders. I'll give you free education. I'll give you free health. How can anybody believe a jerk like this? You know what? He's saying Trump isn't tough enough with NAFTA. He isn't tough enough with China. That's right. But Bernie says it's okay, and they keep it quiet. If a Democrat was saying what Trump is saying, and remember, the media was bought out by the Democrats. Bill Clinton, slimy, slick Willie, the 1996 Federal Communications Deregulation Act that gave six companies.
So I thought you would say that. Here, stick around with us if you can. I thought sure. You might say that. It's the media, it's the censorship, it's the Democrats. It's the same anti-American people, folks.
Infowars.com/show. The fight
for the future is now.
This is the War Room with Owen Schroyer at Infowars.com/show.
All right, I had to ask Gerald Celente one thing before we let him go here today. We've seen the president mention treason 6 or 7 times now when referring to the Obama administration.
with Comey and Brennan and Clapper. And in fact, he did so again yesterday. We were supposed to get that clip for the Jones Show. We never did. We should see if we can get that clip, and we'll air it today, guys, on the War Room. So, Gerald, I just want to get your thoughts on this. Do you think that we may actually see the day where the totally corrupt, as we call it, deep state could be looked at for treason, and even Obama tried for treason, or is that just a pipe dream?
Well, it's a pipe dream in this country as long as we have the Bloods and the Crips running the show that people call Republicans and Democrats. I call them murderers and thieves by their actions. So we need a new look. Look what just happened with the parliamentary elections over there in Europe over the weekend. You're seeing new parties moving in and taking strength. Look in Italy with the Lega, the League, the party. This was a nothing party a couple of years ago with just a few percent. And now they were the big winners. The same thing that's happening in other countries, but not here. And so until we have a real challenge to the entrenched corrupt parties, Owen, I don't see any kind of really dynamic change. It makes little difference who gets into office when you have these corrupt parties running and ruining the nation, as I see it.
Yeah, I think that, if you followed Trey Gowdy when he retired, he said his biggest problem was that, you know, here he was a prosecuting attorney in Congress, and they found all of these crimes with Hillary Clinton and all these other people, and he'd expose it, he'd hand it over to the Justice Department, and then he'd get nothing. So is that really where the rubber meets the road here? I mean, Congress can point out all the crimes and, you know, these intel committees can declassify all these documents with the illegal spying and everything. But unless there's a prosecuting attorney, which in this case perhaps would be William Barr, that's willing to take these cases on, they'll never see the light of day.
Exactly. And again, it's a small part of the whole bigger part of corruption. You know, and following up about what we were talking about before with the with Clinton and selling out. You know, there used to be thousands of radio stations and TV stations that were privately owned throughout the country. And it wasn't six companies that owned 90% of them or more now. And so going back to why when I say the media has been anti-Trump, you pick up the New York Times, they call themselves the paper of record. I call it the toilet paper of record. Every day there's virtually an anti-Trump story. So if a Democrat was in office, they would be very pro to renegotiating these terrible trade deals that have only enriched the rich. And as my good friend, Dr. Paul Craig Roberts has said, you know, it's not about China. And I've been saying this as well. It's the American corporations that sold us out by bringing all our manufacturing and technology and research skills over there and setting up this third world country to be a major developer of product, a manufacturer of product. And we've lost almost, 4 million jobs about now. So what he said, don't blame China, which I've been saying, don't blame the corporations. But what he's also said is we should be taxing the corporations. You should be taxing Nike for bringing in all those sneakers that are made over there. Levi, Apple, tax them for sending our jobs overseas. That's where the tax should go. And again, the reason why they're supporting the Clintons and the Democrats is they're paying them back. That's why would anybody pay Bill Clinton $300,000 an hour for a speech? You could hear him BS for free all day long. Same thing with Hillary. So it's payback. And so the media, with the exception of Fox, of course, is pro-Democrat.
All right, Gerald Celente. TrendsResearch.com is where you can find all his great research and figure out what's coming up tomorrow in the market at Gerald Celente on Twitter. Gerald, always good to have you. Next time we need to come in with a little Italian gangster music, though. I was a little upset with that.
In your opinion, when does human life begin?
I think human life probably begins at maybe birth.
What happens at birth that magically makes an unborn human into now an alive human? What's in the air?
I guess it's just entering the world and gaining, I think maybe a name has something to do with it.
here in Houston, Texas today asking people when they believe human life begins. Let's see what they have to say. In your opinion, ladies, when does human life begin?
Well, not my opinion when human life begins. My opinion when human life begins is when you're born. Because your life starts exactly when you're born. Not saying you're actually breathing air, because when you're in the womb, it's a different kind of life. But for me, it's when you're actually born, when you take that first breath of air.
So what happens, what magically happens to make you alive, to make you have a life when you breathe air?
Breath.
Is there something in the oxygen that makes you a human?
Yes.
What is it?
It's just getting that fresh breath of air, because when you die, you're no longer breathing.
In your opinion, when do you believe human life begins?
I don't know. As soon as you're born.
Okay. Not before?
Well, no, because, I mean, technically you're not doing anything while you're in the womb, so.
You're not developing or having a heartbeat or right. thinking or anything?
Well, I mean, of course you have heartbeat, but you don't really develop skills, I guess you could say, until you're out. Like, you don't know.
Does a one-day-old baby develop skills as soon as they're born?
Well, no, I guess not.
In your opinion, when does human life begin?
I think human life probably begins at maybe birth.
What happens at birth that magically makes an unborn human into now an alive human? What's in the air?
I guess it's just entering the world and gaining, I think maybe a name has something to do with it.
So human life begins when your mom gives you a name?
Yes.
12 seconds later.
Well, I think actually you're a human once you're conceived and you form in the womb. Okay. But I think you become a person once you get a name. But I definitely think that you have rights, you know, once you're inside the womb.
What also happens when you die? What organ stops?
Your heart.
So would you say that maybe when a heartbeat begins, life begins?
No.
So you believe life begins after you pass through the birth canal?
Yes.
What makes someone a person after, but not the day before?
Well, it's just my personal opinion. It's just.
What do you have to back that up? That someone has to breathe oxygen, they have to open their eyes?
They have the respiratory system, the heart, brains, you know.
They have that the day before birth, you know that, right?
No, yeah, I know.
But they're not a person then?
For me, no. It's just, it is a baby, but it's a fetus in a way.
So it's a fetus the day before when it's in the womb, but a person the day after.
Yeah.
When does human life begin?
When the child is born?
Yeah.
When the life is in the world? I mean.
Okay. So it has to pass the birth canal and able for it to be a human life?
For be accountable. Yeah, living life. Of. Yeah.
What's the difference between the day before it's born and the day after?
It's here.
Is it not here when it's in the womb?
Doesn't have any, like, birth certificate doesn't have any.
So a birth certificate determines life?
No, but, I mean.
In your opinion, when does human life begin?
Oh, That's a big question, isn't it?
It's an important question.
It is an important question. You know, oof, you're putting me on the spot on this one, because I have so many different opinions. I mean, I guess I would say that once a heartbeat is detected, I would say that's when.
So when do you guys think that life begins?
I guess the very first heartbeat?
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, but that's when you think it starts, but it starts as soon as she gets pregnant.
At conception?
I mean, that's unknown.
Okay.
A lot of people don't know their conception date.
But that's when life begins to you.
Yeah.
In your guys' opinion, when does human life begin?
At conception.
Yeah, conception.
Okay. What makes you believe that?
Because I believe that's how, once the sperm hits the egg, I believe that's the way God intended it. It's like life has happened at that point.
It just needs to continue to grow.
Yeah, exactly.
For me, I honestly just think it's inappropriate for anybody to decide that other than the mom or the parents.
Do you think the mom should decide?
I think it's a woman's right to choose. And I think
what if a mom decided that, so that's kind of like people deciding that, you know, the Holocaust was okay. Do you think that was okay for them to decide that?
I think that's a stretch.
Yeah, I think that's a different
you think, okay, that's, that is,
living,
yeah, I mean, they are, it is kind of a stretch happened. Because abortion yeah. kills way more, many people than the Holocaust ever did. And it's going to continue that way because abortion is killing at least 1 million unborn humans every year in the United States. Does that make you uncomfortable that that's happening?
It really doesn't.
When does human life begin?
I think when the heart starts to beat. That's what I'm thinking.
Okay. What makes you think that?
Because, you know, every creature what's alive has a human, you know, has a beating of the heart. That means, start to feel when it's like, I don't know, when the mom is sad, probably that's kids probably feels that.
Is there anything that's like specific to you that would determine life?
I would say a heartbeat, but I mean, regardless of the heartbeat or not, it's still, you know, it's still something there. So, and you know that there is something there and it's going to be a human eventually. Well, a human is growing inside of you, pretty much.
Yeah, I agree.
In your opinion, when do you believe human life begins?
I think it begins when there's the first heartbeat.
What makes you think that?
Well, because all the emotion that someone feels comes from the heart and all of that. Like, I think that's what makes the difference between animals and people is, like, the emotions that you feel. So, yeah.
Like I said, I think that's between God and the parents.
What if the parents decided that the life begins a year after she gives birth?
Then that's a whole different set of laws that are.
I mean, you said it's when the parent decides. So if the parent decides a year after the child is born, if that's not a life, then...
I'm thinking more early term, that kind of thing. I'm not thinking of killing...
Yeah. Well, don't put Trump's words in my mouth, please.
It's your words. You said that the parents get to decide.
I would have to say that human life begins the moment the first heartbeat starts. That's
my honest opinion. As soon as it's conceived, life has begun for me.
Okay, perfect. What makes you believe that?
I mean, it's just common sense, I believe. I mean, there's a heartbeat there. That's alive.
When does human life begin?
Oh, the minute you're conceived.
Okay. What she said.
You look very young. Do you have an opinion on this matter?
I try to not be too opinionated, but, you know.
Yeah. Okay, what makes you say conception?
It's because of what it is. It's what I've always believed.
We're asking people when they believe human life begins.
Conception.
What makes you believe that?
With the beating of the heart. I believe God created all things, so that's what I believe.
Conception. The minute you decide to get busy and you conceive a baby, it's when life begins.
Why?
It's not about the heartbeat, it's life.
For me personally, it's as soon as you become pregnant.
It's never okay to kill a 1-year-old.
Is it okay to kill a 9-month-old in the womb?
If you
is it okay to kill a 9-month-old in the womb?
I don't think so.
So would life begin?
The question for me is I'm looking into that and searching my own heart for that.
Exactly.
But I don't think it's for me to decide what you should do, and it's not for you to decide for me what to do.
It's when they get when they have a heartbeat. That's when they start their life.
Okay. What makes you believe that?
I don't know. I just feel like once the baby has a heartbeat, like their life is gonna begun, you know?
When does human life begin?
When does human life begin? As soon as the woman's pregnant.
When does human life begin?
Definitely.
Conception.
Conception.
What makes you guys believe that?
'Cause I'm pretty religious.
Infowars.com/show.
Who's going to have the faster gun? Is it going to be freedom-loving patriots in the West, or is it going to be the globalists who want to see nation-states end? Welcome back to the InfoWars.com War Room, brought to you by InfoWarsStore.com. Everything we do here is brought to you by you at InfoWarsStore.com, and we've got huge Memorial Day specials happening right now on all of our great supplements, up to 60% off some of the top-selling supplements, 50% off top-selling supplements that people call into this show and rave about, such as Bodies, Super Male Vitality, and then the newest product at InfoWarsStore.com, the 8-Pack Power Stack, a great way to begin supplementing if you've been thinking about it, curious about it, but never committed. Now is the time with the 8-Pack Power Stack from InfoWarsStore.com at 50% off. Competing supplement stacks will cost up to $200. It's currently on sale for $60 at InfoWarsStore.com. Try it today. Brand new to InfoWarsStore.com. We do have a coupon code that is about to expire for the month of May. Coupon code WARROOM is good for an additional $10 off the Real Red Pill or the Real Red Pill Plus at checkout. That expires at the end of May. So make sure to do coupon code WARROOM at checkout when you get the Real Red Pill or the Real Red Pill Plus before the end of May, before the end of this coupon code. And so that is in addition to the sale that's already going on for Memorial Day. So go to InfoWarsStore.com, check out the t-shirts, the hats, air filters, water filters, and of course all the great InfoWars life supplements, which are on a deep discount for Memorial Day right now. If you haven't tried the protein bars, now is the perfect time to do that. The Ultimate Bone Broth, 50% off. Vitamin Mineral Fusion, 50% off. The list goes on and on. Go to InfoWarsStore.com and check for yourself. ExtendaWise is 60% off. One of the best oil capsules you can get. There's so much in ExtendaWise. There's really nothing else like it on the market. That's why I take ExtendaWise every morning. So it's all at InfoWarsStore.com. Take advantage of the huge Memorial Day specials at InfoWarsStore.com before it's too late. All right, so my second hour guest is not going to be able to join us, so I'm going to go ahead and open up the phone lines. Let's go ahead and open up those phone lines, guys. 888-201-2244. 888-201-2244. We'll take your calls on anything. We kind of just have open lines. I'm doing a double duty today, so I'll go ahead and let the callers do the load. Of the work here today, as I'm now into broadcast hour five. So the phone lines are open, 888-201-2244. We'll take your calls on anything. I do have a couple news stories, and Marcos, if you did want to come on air, feel free to be my guest. Marcos and I have been working together ever since I started here. In fact, he shot my first report in this studio, and you had something to say about Caitlin Bennett's report where she was just out asking people when they think life begins. So Marcos Morales, one of our great crew members here, always wearing multiple hats, not just on his head, but as job duties here. So what was your thoughts on that Caitlin Bennett report?
I was just going off, like, as we do in the background when we're watching all this news unfold. And I was just making comments on how so many people have solved the great riddle that so many of the greatest thinkers, philosophers, artists on the planet have all been trying to track down the meaning, beginnings of life, everything that means what life is. And I'm just glad that these people on the street have solved this mystery and have decided when life begins and what life is, what defines it. So I'm just glad that they've beat out all the great philosophers, scientists, everyone involved looking for the meaning of life. Just so happy.
Which great street philosopher do you think had it right? Because you had a bunch of different opinions in there. One of them, I don't know if it made it in that report, one of them says you could abort babies up to three. So which street philosopher do you think really got it right? Or is it just, they're all right? You're just so open-minded.
Yeah, just life begins, as according to the great Bill Hicks, our boss, life begins when you're in my phone book.
So I'm not even alive yet, am I?
Actually, you are in my phone book, so yeah.
All right.
You're alive.
So I'm alive. You're hey, alive. Please don't abort me. Please don't abort me from your phone book. Thank you.
I just, I think if people want to talk about the legality and the logistics of access to medical care, like abortion, you can't go about it saying you've solved the mysteries of life and when it begins. I'm just, we need to call it what it is from the get-go. Ask for what you want. Stop pretending like you've defined what life is and ask for what you want.
So your beef is somebody that says, hey, look, I'm not aborting a life because I don't believe it's a life.
Own up to it. Look, if you've had a horrible situation that got you into it and you have to take a horrible situation to get out of it, you can't wash it over. Save yourself the trauma by lying to yourself about what it is. Call it out for what it is from the get-go and you avoid the trauma later.
Well, there is a lot of psychological trauma that comes along with abortion. And that's why when I run into these ladies that celebrate their abortion on the street, I look at them and I just doubt they really had one.
Delusion. It's delusion. It's madness. It's someone washing over a trauma and we're lifting them up saying, yeah, they're doing the right thing. They're washing their trauma.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. No, that's not a lie.
And this is what we should do.
Yeah, you didn't end a life with your abortion.
No. Because the heartbeat bill doesn't know when life begins. The people who've decided how late they want to terminate their pregnancy, they've decided. They've found out when life is, what it is. So I'm glad they've solved that mystery for us.
Well, there it is. We didn't even think we'd be solving the greatest mysteries of existence here in the war room today. But with one Caitlin Bennett report, we pretty much figured out. The street philosophers.
Street philosophers, unite.
Marcos Morales is an InfoWars crew philosopher, so he has a little bit more clout than the average street philosopher because he's been here for how long? 15 years?
I do it
years?
In a building. Yeah, I philosophize in a building. 8 years.
Only 8 years?
This July.
Wow.
Yep.
Well, he ages really well. He's actually 50 years old, if you can believe it or not.
It's because psychologically I'm 13 years old for the rest of my life. Except for when I'm right in the argument. And then,
or if you want to smoke a cigarette.
We don't do that anymore.
Oh, that's right.
Bad stuff. That's bad.
Or if you want to go out for an adult soda.
Correct.
Okay.
I make those decisions. My body, my choice.
All right. Now line up for your vaccine, please. Give him his clown vaccine. He's sounding a little too rational back there.
Don't get me started on vaccines. Don't get me started.
Oh, yeah. That was the last time you came on air. All right. We're going to take your calls in the next segment. We're already aggregating your calls. So we'll go to your phone calls here in the next segment on anything, really. And I've got a couple news stories that we'll break, too. This is the InfoWars.com War Room brought to you by InfoWarsStore.com. Your calls coming up on the other side.
InfoWars.com/show. Making talk radio great again. It's the War Room with Owen Schroyer at InfoWars.com/show.
Oh my gosh, believe it, folks. Jim Acosta has just told the truth and admits he does not report on Trump from a neutral perspective. Wow, Jim. What are you going to tell us next, Jim? Oh, Jim. Oh, Jim. Oh, my gosh. The total disintegration of liberal media is hilarious. Oh, that is just classic. Woo! Jim Acosta admits he cannot cover the Trump White House from a neutral perspective. I'm sorry. It's so ridiculous. Oh, my gosh. Woo! Oh, I needed that laugh. My, that is rich stuff right there. oh boy. Meanwhile, Christopher Steele will not cooperate with Department of Justice review of Russian investigation. Well, of course, he's a British spy that U.S. intelligence agencies colluded with to try to destroy Donald Trump. So he doesn't have to answer. But don't you worry, because Clapper and Brennan and Comey and Strzok and Page and McCabe and Orr and Orr and Obama will have to answer or be held in contempt, which Eric Holder already has been. So maybe that's an option for him too. But Christopher Steele says, you know, I'm going to avoid this investigation because, well, I think we all know why. The origins of the Russian investigation exist in treason. So that'll all come out. Missouri's last abortion clinic says it may lose its license this week. The last remaining abortion clinic in Missouri says it expects to be shut down this week, effectively ending legal abortion in the state of Missouri. In a statement today, Planned Parenthood said Missouri's health department is refusing to renew its annual license to provide abortion in the state. If the license is not renewed by May 31st, Missouri would become the first state without a functioning abortion clinic since 1973, when Roe v. Wade was decided. You know, I'm an implant here at Texas, and I do call Austin, Texas my home. But I was born and raised in Missouri, and it never really gets the credit or respect it deserves as perhaps one of the most, if not the most, conservative state in the union. And you can wear a Trump hat out around there, and people aren't going to look at you like a freak show. They'll probably give you a nod, and that's about it. Even the people that hate Trump, probably not going to say anything, because the state of Missouri is just like that. They also have constitutional carry up there. So they're doing something right in Missouri, and they just elected Hawley to the Senate, and he has been an absolute all-star. All right, let's take some of your calls. We'll go with Nick in Michigan to lead us off today. Go ahead, Nick.
Hello, Owen. How are you doing? Can you hear me all right?
Yep, thanks for calling.
Okay, so then I'm a regular caller. It's a phone call that I told myself that I would make until the skies above my house don't look like a tic-tac-toe board anymore. I guess the topic of my call, 5G, geoengineering. My worry about Trump is that he's so busy with so much other stuff, the presidency, that these two things, it might be the most, I'd say, two most existential threats that we're facing, you know, life-threatening, currently going on, 5G, soon to be. But I'm wondering what you think about Dane Wigington, a guest you've had on before from Geoengineering Watch. He said some things on his site to the extent of he's had military men, ex, and I think current as well, deliver information to Trump's top people, and he's had to have seen it, according to Dane. He's had to have seen it. He's had to have acknowledged it. But what do you think there's anything that he can do to start to bring it to light, to at least, you know, get the public to maybe acknowledge that it's happening, kind of like a first step to stop it type of thing?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of tough to say. I don't know what the president knows or doesn't know. I don't know what the president's seen or hasn't seen. Not to say I don't trust Dane Wigington. I'm sure what Dane Wigington is saying is accurate, and whatever documents he's claiming the president has seen, he's seen. I'm saying that's perhaps only a series of documents he's seen. He's probably seen a lot of stuff. They may be misinforming him, or who knows? He might know something about this that we don't know at all. Like, they already destroyed the planet and this is them trying to save it, or they could just be saying that to him. So I don't really know. It's all very convoluted. The issue remains, there is geoengineering going on. We get told we're bad for man-made climate change every day, but we ignore the actual man-made geoengineering to control the climate that happens every day. And I just look at some of the stuff we're seeing with weather lately and just have to ask myself if we're not witnessing weather weapons in real time. You know, they'll put out some hit piece, say, oh, InfoWars thinks the Chinese are using weather weapons. And it's like, well, look, I don't know what's going on. Okay, there's more factual information out there with governments admitting they do weather modification and have weather weapons than there are with any science pointing to man-made global warming. So yeah, as far as what the president knows or doesn't know, or if he'll do anything about this. I mean, all I've seen is the president and Brad Parscale both seem to be pro 5G. As far as the weather modification is concerned, I don't know about that.
I don't mean to bash Trump at all. I mean, he's the guy to stop it if there is someone. I know that.
No, I understand that. I don't know if Trump really understands it. Like I said, the only comment or anything I've ever seen him make on either of the subjects is he is pro 5G.
Yeah, it's brutal. You know, five, 6 days of clouds, one day of sunshine here in Michigan, and then back.
Yeah,
up, five,
yeah, we got that same. We got that same phenomenon here in Texas.
Thank
although
you
I will
for
say,
taking my call.
Yeah, thanks for calling, Nick. I will say that we have experienced more sun here in the last week. It felt like that we had all year up to this point. I was actually tracking it because it was so bad. In the month between April and into May until the last week, Texas was seeing, Austin, Texas, we saw the sun once a week. I've lived here for 3 years, and I don't know. That doesn't seem normal to me, but who knows? That'll be the future, though. You just will never see the sun. Only the elite that live in, like, the 300th floor of the mega towers are going to ever see the sun. The rest will just be hazed away because they call it global dimming. That's an actual agenda, global dimming. They want to stop the sun, stop global warming. Wow. All right, let's squeeze in one more call before we take a break from Josh in Texas. Go ahead, Josh.
Hello, Owen. You there?
Yes.
Okay. I want to talk again about U.S. foreign policy. I know you received a call from me talking about that, and I'm sorry for having to put fingers at Israel, but like, I think I know this might be slightly against what InfoWars might believe, but I think that the whole World War II narrative is all a lie. And this is very significant because after that, the League of Nations became the UN, and the UN not fully ratified a declaration to make the state of Israel. And I'm not trying to be anti-Semitic or anything, but I do think that the people that constitute Israel, Netanyahu, and even the flag with all the six pointers and the hexagonal shape and the six triangles, which...
Well, here's what I'll say, Josh, because I only have 30 seconds to respond. There's no doubt that our foreign policy is majorly influenced by Israel. I'm not denying that. I don't like that. They are our ally in that region, and it's a very complex issue. As far as the lies after World War II are concerned, there's no doubt there were a lot of lies that started World War II and then after World War II. But, I don't know. That's a lot to hash out in 30 seconds. Maybe we'll get back to it.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
Welcome back to the InfoWars.com War Room, brought to you by InfoWarsStore.com, where we have major specials happening right now, major Memorial Day specials. Most supplements are 50% off right now. Some are up to 40% off at InfoWarsStore.com. We appreciate your support at InfoWarsStore.com. That's what keeps us on air. Okay, we got phone lines lit up before my next guest joins me in the next hour. Let's go to Dennis calling in from Kentucky. We're not going to shortchange it today, Dennis. We'll give you the top of the segment. Go ahead.
Well, let's keep everything in perspective. Everything in perspective. In FEC filings closed out in 2017, the Democratic Party was $6.1 million in debt. They're not trying to win a presidency.
They're trying to keep people paid that they paid off. Joe Biden is the front runner because of what? What he has done, how he has uplifted his family to have money. They need the money back that Hillary Clinton stole.
So what do you think they're doing then? I mean, why is it Biden? You don't, because I reason that the reason they want Biden is they need the best cover up of Obama's years. And Biden was obviously in there, so he has a direct interest to cover up all the corruption of Obama. You're saying you think it has more to do with they just need to raise a bunch of money and Biden is the best candidate to do that?
Biden is in debt to the DNC through Obama. Everything is falling apart on the DNC side. That's what I'm trying to get everybody to understand. See, what has happened is the total breakdown of the Democratic Party. Therefore, the money is gone. They have to look for someone to build money. That's why they have so many candidates right now in the presidential race to build and generate money. They're not looking to win nothing. They need the money to keep people like in the judicial system. Look at your boy, Michael Avenatti. Look at how everything is playing out. They have political puppets in play that were getting money. And now the roosters are coming home.
Well,
that money.
Yeah, I mean, it's so convoluted because you do look at the Democrats and you wonder what in the heck are they thinking and why are they forcing Joe Biden? I mean, it's the same thing, though. They're going to force Joe Biden down our throats and they have a three-day Democrat debate coming up in the end of June. InfoWars will be there reporting on the scene. So they have to do a three-day event because there's so many candidates, Dennis. But it's like, if it's a real debate, Joe Biden has no chance. This guy can't keep his hands off women and children. This guy directly colluded with Ukraine to enrich his own family. His family has all kinds of problems on top of that with drug use and just weird inner family relationships. I mean, we'll just leave it at that. A real debate, Joe Biden doesn't have a chance. So what do you think is going through their head? Do they really think that the Democrats are going to be hands-off Joe Biden during these debates?
No, what it is Joe Biden will be the fall guy. Will be the fall guy. Everybody has to sit back and look at the writing on the wall. The Democratic Party was broke. They have to have a lot of people drum up this money to reinstate the party, and then they will push, not for now, not for 2020. It will be the next election. They need the money. They have to keep the people that they have already greased palms with already. They have to keep them. Otherwise, they are subject to lose everything that they have set up in the last 40 years. It is very simple.
Well, I think the Democrat Party, if Trump wins in a landslide and they commit, because here's what I learned today. It's the title of the show. I've got to explain this. Thanks for the call, Dennis. The Democrat campaign for 2020 is not just Orange Man bad anymore. It's not just Trump bad. That's what they've been campaigning on. It's now about to shift. They're going to start campaigning on abort your babies. So the Democrat big campaign push for 2020 is going to be impeach Trump and abort your babies. That's what they're looking at right now. So we'll see how that works for them. Let's go now to Tommy calling in from California. Go ahead, Tommy.
Hey, thank you so much for taking my call. This is Turbo Time, Tommy. Just want to say one thing, it's real quick. Have you played the game of Risk in your life? Are you familiar with that?
Yes.
Okay. Just one question. One thing, the age-old question you always ask on the show is, what does the president have to do? Sir, please, with all respect, bring our brothers and sisters home. This is too much one side to where if they divide and conquer us, if there's too much of a foreign threat to allow our brothers and sisters too far away, spread apart across the globe and stuff that we don't need to fight anymore. We don't need to fight that battle anymore. Let other people fight until there's another catalyst event like World War I, World War II, or Vietnam. We don't need that anymore. Mr. President, sir, please acknowledge the threat, not just at the southern border, But he had said something that really spoke to me beyond any other presidents on a game plan to extract some of our brothers and sisters overseas. And that hasn't happened yet. And we can't let our, quote unquote, these chess pieces that they play spread across out the border. And there's so many threats here domestically that could pose a possible serious implications if not adhered to. So, Mr. President, please bring our brothers and sisters home.
Well, I couldn't agree more with that. In fact, I mean, I've even said if I was ever going to campaign for president, that'd be probably my number one campaign issue is we're bringing all the troops home. Bring them all home. Bring them all home. I mean, honestly, what good are our troops doing over there? And then the whole notion will be, well, they'll blow Israel off the map if we're not, or, you know, so-and-so nation will destabilize if we're not. Well, you know what? Our nation is destabilizing, okay? We're being invaded and destroyed from within. So I am in complete agreement with Tommy right now. I would bring home all the troops. President Trump, it's time to bring them all home. Stop the military-industrial complex. Stop bloodshed overseas for wars that we probably don't even involve ourselves with other than for other interests or private interests, like weapons manufacturers and the industrial military complex. So I completely agree with Tommy. It's time to bring the troops home. They've been overseas forever. There's no victory to be claimed. Declare victory, bring them home, have a big celebration, and let's bring patriotism back to this country. Great call from Tommy. Let's squeeze one more in before the break. Matt in Minnesota. Go ahead, Matt.
Hi. I am a high school student here in Minnesota, and I am part of the resistance against the Orange Man Bad Media and all of their lies. I would like to ask you, what are your thoughts on Dan Crenshaw, and how do you think he can stand up in the presidential election of 2024 or even 2020 if President Donald Trump decides not to run again?
I think Dan Crenshaw has really made a strong name for himself as a freshman congressman. I don't think he has any higher pursuits in mind as far as a political career is concerned in the near future. He may try a Senate run somewhere down the road. I wouldn't expect to see him running for president anytime soon. Crenshaw is good. He's a good family man. He's a good American. He's obviously served. He has a lot of great policies and a lot of great work that he's done. Quite frankly, I'd like to see him a little more hardcore. But I think the guy's great, and he does a good job reaching across the aisle as well. So I would say Dan Crenshaw is one of the good ones that we have in Congress.
All right. Thank you. I would like to ask you one more thing. What are your thoughts on all the censorship that is going around?
Well, do you have a YouTube channel, Matt?
I do not.
Well, I would say this. If Alex Jones was really as crazy as they claim him to be, or were all of these different things they claim him to be, why would they actually censor him? They censor Alex Jones and InfoWars because we are tomorrow's news today. They censor us because we say the things that they don't want us to say, and we have their game plan. We know their playbook. And the only response they can have is not to respond, but to censor. Matt in Minnesota, a great high school student. Matt, what's it like being a conservative high school student in Minnesota? Do you wear your colors proud?
I do. I actually own quite a few MAGA hats. It can be tough sometimes with all the liberal teachers and stuff. But, you know, I've got a good group of friends that all support my ideas. And my friend here, Ethan, is also really good conservative. He'd like to ask you one more quick question.
Well, unfortunately, I got to go to break, Ethan. Maybe try calling back in if we got an open phone line. Thank you, guys. Good, strong Americans.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show. The fight
for the future is now.
This is the War Room with Owen Schroyer at Infowars.com/show.
We're starting to see what Democrat policies over decades do to great, beautiful cities like Chicago, like Baltimore, like LA, like San Francisco. But two cities that seem to be forgotten about when we talk about this are Portland and Seattle, where it's much, much worse than you may think. Here is a video report done on the state of the city of Seattle and how bad liberal policies have made it.
Let me ask you something. What if Seattle is dying and we don't even know it? This story is about a seething, simmering anger that is now boiling over into outrage. It is about people who have felt compassion, yes, but who no longer feel safe, no longer feel like they are heard, no longer feel protected. It is about lost souls who wander our streets, untethered to home or family or reality, chasing a drug which in turn chases them. It is about the damage they inflict on themselves, to be sure, but also on the fabric of this place where we live. This story is about a beautiful jewel that has been violated and a crisis of faith amongst a generation of Seattleites falling out of love with their home. There is another part of this story, too. It's about a solution, an idea for a city that has run out of them. And I ask again, what if Seattle is dying and we don't even know it?
It's gotten to a point where I'm embarrassed of it. I don't want to have my friends and family come here anymore.
People didn't used to use the word embarrassing about Seattle, but if you listen closely, you'll hear it a lot now.
You know, it's embarrassing. This is one of the most beautiful regions in the entire world, and right now, with lack of a better word, it looks like shit. And it's embarrassing.
This is Mehrdad Derek Shande. He runs an upholstery shop in Ballard near the Burke-Gilman Trail. Out his window, he looks at this.
Oh, they're human beings. Yes, I'm a human being too.
Customers coming to his shop see the same thing.
I have known cops from Compton, Watts, South Central. They have some power in their hand. Here you see a bunch of twinkle toes running around here. What the heck? Because they run the city like that. They're having problems. They're having problems. They're not having enough authority.
There were fires set outside his shop this past summer, and Mr. Derek Shande does not blame police. He believes their power has been stripped away.
The city mayor doesn't give the cops authority. That's the problem. We need somebody with some weights and tell them.
You know, here's what it boils down to. And this isn't meant to be insensitive, but it's just the American way. And there's nothing wrong with it. But we make policies for people that either are such a fringe minority, it wouldn't even matter, or for people that don't deserve it. And instead of thinking about, you know, again, I'm not somebody that has political aspirations, but you try to put yourself in that mindset. Like, you know, if you're the mayor of this city, I think about where I'm from, St. Louis. I still have a lot of my heart tied back to that city. And I think to myself, you know, well, what would I do? You would want to clean the city up and make it presentable and livable for the people that live in it and that work and that build it and that pay taxes and that engage in commerce, engage in travel, bring people in. But that's not what the Democrat leadership does. They cater the cities to the people on the street that poop and pee in the streets. They cater the cities to the people that don't want to work, but rather string themselves out on drugs on a street corner. And that's when you get a city like Seattle. That's when you get a city like San Francisco. That's when you get a city like Baltimore. So instead of building a city and an infrastructure for the taxpayers and the people that work and the people that love and care about their city, they allow it to exist as a feces pit for those that don't want to work, those that just want to do drugs because they feel bad for them as humans. But again, why wouldn't you think about the people that actually care and work? Back to the InfoWars.com War Room, brought to you by InfoWarsStore.com, where we have a huge Memorial Day sale happening right now. I would suggest going to InfoWarsStore.com and trying out the Super Male Vitality if you haven't yet. 50% off Super Male Vitality at InfoWarsStore.com. Look, at the end of today, I will have done 6 hours of live radio here at InfoWars, and I'm actually doing an interview after this on Jacob Martin's YouTube channel for half an hour. So I'll be almost 7 hours in of live broadcasting, which, if you ask anybody, 3 hours will knock you out. Luckily, I'm gifted at this, and I'm blessed that I can do it. But after I finish those three broadcasts, I'm also going to be going to the gym for 2 hours to exercise and lift weights. And I'm telling you, it wouldn't be possible if it wasn't for Super Male Vitality. I take it in the morning with my morning supplement routine, and then I take it in the evening right before I go to the gym. So it is tough, folks. I get it. To stay in shape, to get to the gym after a long day, the motivation isn't there, and more than anything, the energy isn't there. So I go to Super Male Vitality so that I have that extra drive at the end of the day to get some exercise, or, you know, who knows, if you're a father, it might just be able to give you that extra energy to play with your kids when you get home from a long day at work, or cook that meal when you get home from a long day of work. Super Male Vitality, 50% off right now at InfoWarsStore.com, part of the Memorial Day specials. And just check out all the great supplements. If you're not into supplements, please filter your air and water in your home. We have the best air filters and water filters at InfoWarsStore.com. We also have emergency food supplies, t-shirts, hats, and then your support at InfoWarsStore.com makes everything we do here at InfoWars possible. There's no other news outlet like us here at InfoWars. No corporate sponsors, no corporate overlords, just you supporting us at InfoWarsStore.com. And then, of course, we get the massive censorship because, well, they don't just censor us, they censor you. That's why we go to your calls. That's why we bring all the great guests that we have on. Speaking of, David Kohlhepp is my next guest. I was actually on his YouTube channel, Two Classy Gentlemen Podcast, and we were talking about some things that I just thought were so amazing. I had to get him on the War Room to talk about this. So David from Two Classy Gents on Twitter, the Two Classy Gentlemen's Podcast on YouTube, college student, joins me now. David, thanks for joining me here today. Let's get right into it. You told me some things that I'd never heard before, and quite frankly, I couldn't even believe when I was a guest on your podcast. Let's start with the story about a certain professor who literally said, as part of her introduction to the class, that if you were a white male, you were racist. Tell the audience that story.
All right, well, that was actually my anthropology class in my freshman year, which was 2016, right before Trump got elected, thankfully. And so I go into the class, it was just another day in class, I was like, all right, she seemed pretty, like, prejudice towards the class in general for the white kids or whatever, because she would always say, oh, well, this group of people was good, this group of people was bad, Europeaners weren't that good. And then all of a sudden she went one day, hey, every white male in the classroom, raise your hand. I was like, okay, whatever. I'm a quarter Asian, but I'm like, okay, I'll do it nonetheless. Raise my hand. And she goes, all of you are racist and nobody can be racist towards you. And I was just like, can she say that? And I was like, oh, I mean, we didn't know what to do. We didn't know, because she was Peruvian, 4'2", 66-year-old lady. We're like, well, what are we going to do, fight back? It's not going to help anything.
And the reason why this amazes me, well, there's multiple reasons. One, imagine if a professor, let's say a white professor, came in and said, I need every black person to raise their hand. Okay, you're a racist and nobody can be racist against you. It'd be national news. It'd be the most racist thing a professor could ever do, which, okay, fair enough. But when they do, I can't believe it. They literally did that to your class. I don't even know how, I don't know if I would be mad. I don't know if I'd be upset. I don't know if I'd just be so shocked like you were. But what were other people saying when they saw this? I mean, again, your teacher literally said, if you're a white male, you're a racist and nobody can be racist against you. She said this to a classroom of I'm sure many different people, but many white males. What was the response like?
It was more of a, because again, we were all 18, 19. So we're all a bunch of kids still. So we're all like, we still respect the professor somewhat because we're like, oh, we just came out of high school. So we're looking around and we're just looking, just basically laughing because we can't believe what just happened. It wasn't even like a nervous laugh. It was just like, really? We're like, this is basically what we see on YouTube, but now it's actually in real life. And we were just in shock.
Well, and that's what I said to you. I was like, did anybody get a recording of this? I mean, it's a two-party consent in Florida, so you can't just record people without their permission. What other kinds of crazy things? I know there's other stories you've talked about from your campus. If you care to mention what campus you're on, feel free. I won't make you. But what other stories have you seen just from the bias against conservatives or white people?
Yeah, I mean, again, I'm not going to bring up my campus just because I like to have a little discretion where I am at times, just because, again, I don't want some crazy liberal doxing me or whatever. But we had a class with, I think it was like world politics or something, and we were talking about the wage gap for some reason. It got brought up, and our liberal professor, she was a feminist. She even told us she was that before the class started, which I thought was a little weird because I thought you were supposed to be neutral in the classroom. But I was like, whatever, it's a professor, she's liberal, we all get it. And she goes, oh, the wage gap is 77 cents to the dollar. Well, one of our classmates, again, we all raised our hands. She picked on the one kid, and he went, that's not real. And this was like six months ago. And she went, yes, it is. And we're like, go to any professor in the economics building, and they'll tell you it's not real. And she basically started breaking down in tears and yelling at us. And we're like, we had to go tell one of the kids that kept fighting back with her, like, hey, stop, you're making her cry. You know you're right. Okay, it's over. Because it was a scene that was going on. I couldn't believe it.
And this is like, again, you know that this kind of stuff is going on, but you don't expect it happening actually in an education, you know, facility in that type of atmosphere. But it's like, does this infiltrate almost every aspect of college life now? I mean, is it like the constant polarization, the constant leftist indoctrination, and if you dare stand up against it, you're bad?
I mean, here's the thing. I mean, again, our campus is a mostly conservative campus. We took a national poll, and we were actually 60-40 conservative in the 2016 election. So it's not the students. So the students seem to be holding up okay. It's just that I think the ratio from liberal teachers to conservative teachers was 12-1. Because our conservative economics teacher told us that. He's like, hey, just to let you know, they're going to say one thing. This is what's actually going on. And we took him more seriously because, again, when a liberal student came up and started saying something, he took it and was like, okay, well, we'll talk about that, discuss it, whatever, and joked it off sometimes. This professor was like, no, this can't happen. She started like, and we were actually like scared that she was going to like run out of the room and start like in tears.
And this is supposedly, I mean, you know, a teacher's aide has some, you know, some authority in the classroom, supposed to have some dignity, be treated with respect, starts breaking down and crying because a student questions her on a certain political belief, which, by the way, that's been disproven. I mean, they've basically boiled it down to there's maybe a penny or 2 cents of a difference between men and women on the pay gap. And there's all kinds of, in fact, you know, that's not even true. It really just depends on 1,000 different things, but it's like, they want everything to be cut and dry. Have they just lost all the you know, like the different nuances of life are just lost on these people?
I mean, considering I'm in a history major, so I'm dealing with most of your liberal students, teachers, all that stuff. So I'm used to it. And I'll just walk in. And again, most of the teachers, I would say that there's about maybe 5 or 6 that I've actually had to deal with that are bad, like liberals that will like freak out or something. But most of them are just like, they use their higher education just to like try to shoot you down real quick, like, hey, this isn't real or whatever. And then you're like, well, you have a degree, and I don't feel like arguing for the next 20 minutes in my class. So
all right, we're gonna go to break here. But, you know, this is a void that needs to be filled. College students need to start standing up against these liberal professors trying to indoctrinate them. They need a platform or something. It's getting out of control.
Infowars.com/show.
David Cole, it is my guest from Two Classy Gents on Twitter, the Two Classy Gentlemen's podcast. And again, I went on his podcast last week, and he was telling me just unbelievable stories about what he experiences on a college campus. And, you know, I'll just say this, David. One of the biggest complaints I get, because I have a pretty young audience here on the War Room, one of the biggest complaints I get from college students is, you know, what are we going to do about this indoctrination? The liberal professors indoctrinate us all day. Their courses are geared towards the leftist ideology. Their political discussions are geared towards anti-Trump, anti-Americans. And most of the students see it, but, I mean, what do they do about it? I mean, do you think there's a solution to this, David? I mean, I'm just trying to figure out what college students can do, because I hear it all the time from conservative college students, how their professors are trying to indoctrinate them. What is the answer to this? What can conservative students do to try and push back against the indoctrination they face every day?
Basically, read up and learn. Learn on your own. Be your own independent journalist. Watch InfoWars, of course. Watch our show. And just get news from both sides. Again, because your liberal professors, that's pretty much a lost cause that it is. So they know more than you for the most part just because they've been around longer. But you have to actually go in and do your own research so that if they start saying something that doesn't sound right, you already know it and know how to combat it without looking like a fool or just basically screaming at them or whatever. Just you have to be educated.
So is that the answer then? Is the answer to actually combat their ideology in the classroom in real time?
Respectively, that's probably the best way. Don't start yelling at them or whatever. Don't be like, well, hey, that's wrong. Or that. Just raise your hand. Simply do it like in elementary school. Raise your hand. Say, hey, I don't believe in this. And most of the time, they'll say, all right, we'll have a discussion or we'll do it after class. Or would you like to come up on to the stage and talk with us?
Now, I agree with that. The response I get to that is, but they will start impacting my grades. They start to give me D's on reports. I can't even pass a class now because they know I like Trump. So is that something that you've seen?
In my personal college experience, I haven't. I've actually confronted I had to take the lovely class of gender and society, which was an all just a big joke. I showed up to the class 3 times and passed the class. So that was fun. But no, he didn't affect my grade. I confronted him on a daily basis in my paper saying, hey, I don't agree with any of this. I'm going to write the answer you want, but I'm going to write you a whole paragraph underneath of what's actually going on. And he took it well. I have professors all the time that go, hey, I understand that you don't agree with me, but I like that you at least put your own thought. Now, there are some professors that don't like that and they will dox you. I haven't dealt with that yet, but I've heard people who have.
I'm just trying to figure out what conservative college students can do, because you don't just want to sit there and be berated with that messaging, you know, during your entire student career. And then a part of you too, at least for me, would say, I don't want my fellow students to be subjected to this and not at least hear, you know, a different version or the reality of the situation.
Yeah, no, 100%. I mean, and that's why you do have to speak up in the classroom and don't be the kid that like, okay, well, I know I'm right and I have answers, but I'm not going to raise my hand or I'm not going to tell the teacher and say, like, hey, this is wrong or this is my belief. At least get my side of the viewpoint. Because, again, you'll have all these conservatives go, oh, well, look at all what's going on in the conservative campuses or all these campuses in general. And they're like, they're saying this, they're saying that. Just 99% of the time, the professor is not going to berate you, like cursing you out. I've had a couple professors do that to students, but never to me, actually. But just confront them. They like that for the most part, but students don't seem to do it, which is why you get some of those videos where the teacher is just on top of the students, like giving them like impeach Trump or something like that.
I think college students need an outlet where they can go and share these stories and document these stories, whether or not they record it or not. They can at least write it down so that there's some sort of a database so that other students can go there who maybe feel alone in these situations because they're a conservative or because they like Trump or whatever. And they can say, okay, I'm not alone. Okay, I'm not the only one thinking this. Oh, I'm not the only one experiencing this. And they can kind of have that discussion and they can kind of have that database to go and look and see, wow, this is happening across the nation. I've never heard of anything like that. I kind of wanted to do something like that with University Wars, but, I mean, we've got our hands in about 300 different cookie pots here. It's impossible to start a new project. But maybe that's something that somebody should start. I mean, do you think that'd be helpful for college students to have a kind of a forum like that to discuss how to deal with the leftist indoctrination going on at the universities?
That would be helpful, because I do know conservatives that I've met on campus that are like, well, this just keeps happening to me. And I'm like, I don't know what, I mean, our podcast can only do so much. Only so many people know about it because we've been censored so many times. Well, not as much as you guys, but we've been censored as well. And they just need a place to vent, a place to figure out what to do, a place to figure out how to combat type of liberal ideologies where they can confront professors and say, hey, this is what's going on, or give them at least give the professor, again, it's already gone, whatever, left or right, they're already gone. They already know they're smarter or think they're smarter than you. You have to get the students and have them at least open up their minds. And just, yeah, I mean, a university type app or InfoWars type stuff would be great. Or it used to be Twitter. You used to be able to just shoot all your thoughts out there, but then became the censorship platform.
That's right. That's right. Now, you're set to graduate, right?
In 2020 of May, so a year from basically today.
So you got 1 year left of fighting the leftist ideology up there. Do you like to wear your, you got some Trump hats behind you there. Do you like to wear those on campus?
I did wear my Trump hat 2016, which was fantastic because every single liberal on campus, it was raining that day, so it was a little drizzle. So it was a wonderful day. All of them had their heads down. I just walked through proud. And I've worn my 45 hat, I've worn my Trump 45, I've worn my American hat, stuff like that. USA shirts always. But yeah, I don't really, I get flack a little bit. I mean, I get a couple of bad looks, couple of expletives thrown under their breath at me. But again, it's nothing. I'm not getting punched at all. If that's what we're looking at here. Yeah, I'm a pretty decent sized guy, so I can handle myself with them.
And plus, at your university, at least the numbers read out, most of the students are actually conservative.
Yeah. I mean, and I think that's, I would say for most campuses, at least like in the Southeast area, is more, and probably Texas, a little more conservative. So you don't have to worry as much. But I would say like a UCLA, a Berkeley, anywhere in New York, pretty much, you'd have to worry about there wearing some type of MAGA clothing or even a flag. Even if you had like a U.S. a 13 colonies flag like we have displayed right here, that might be an issue. They might say, well, that involves slavery. And I'd be like, that's just freedom. And they'll be like, well, that's racist. And I'm like, it's not.
Well, David Kohlhepp from Two Classy Gentlemen's podcast, he's actually studying to be a teacher. So we need more teachers like him out there that aren't trying to indoctrinate the youth, but trying to educate the youth. That's the big difference. David, thank you so much for joining us. Tell people where they can find your podcast.
All right. You can find our podcast at on YouTube under Two Classy Gentlemen Podcast. Again, that's the number Two Classy Gentlemen Podcast. We also have a little Instagram page. It's got about 17,000 followers. Again, it's the same thing, Two Classy Gentlemen Podcast, the number Two.
And by the way, when I went on with David last week, we actually broke the matrix. So you may want to go listen to that interview. We literally broke the matrix, folks. You won't believe what we uncovered.
Infowars.com/show. Trigger warning. This broadcast contains subject matter that might offend liberal snowflakes. It's the War Room with Owen Schroyer.
All right, we're going to go back to your phone calls here. I got a couple news stories I want to hit. I have a hilarious news story I'm going to read in entirety in the next segment and play a bombshell video clip that just came out. Let me just do a quick news blitz here and then take your calls. Feinstein had private dinner with Iranian prime minister, then lied about it. Look, here's the story, folks. It's the same thing with Feinstein having a Chinese spy following her around for 20 years. These Democrats, they don't sell to the highest bidder. They sell to any bidder. So, of course, Feinstein would have a private dinner with Iranian prime minister and lie about it. Who knows what kind of shady deals she's engaged in? The late, great, what was that corrupt Democrat's name from Nevada? Oh, my gosh. You know, I'm Harry Reid, exactly. He used to do this kind of crap all the time, cutting secret land deals with the Chinese. These people are traitors through and through. Here's one that's not even a traitor anymore, Ilhan Omar. She's just an enemy. Ilhan Omar says, I bring perspective of a foreigner to the United States foreign policy. Well, really? You bring the perspective of a foreigner, huh? So that's interesting. You're from Somalia, a asshole. You came here as a refugee. You married your brother illegally to get him a green card. And now you're going to sit here and act like you're high and mighty because you're a foreigner on the U.S. Foreign Affairs Committee when you have an anti-American perspective? Here's an idea. Why don't you go back to the toilet you came from? But you see, I told you this last week, folks. Ilhan Omar is an operative against America. She's literally here just to inject and stir the pot up. She's an instigator. That's why she wears the hijab and Tlaib doesn't. She wants that symbol of female oppression to be right there as she virtue signals. She wants you to know she's a Muslim from Somalia that wants to destroy America. That's what she wants. She wants to stir that anger. She wants to stir that hatred. That's her job. Not to stick up for the people of America, not to stick up for the people of Minnesota, but to gaslight and instigate. This is a hilarious one. Baseball team apologizes after including Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez with an Enemies of Freedom video they rolled during the Memorial Day game. No, Cortez is an enemy of freedom and an ally of ignorance. Now, this is a story that I've seen trending, and I was not going to cover it, but now it's literally been on almost every major news publication this week. No kids, no husband, no problem. An expert says this is the key to happiness for women. The Guardian, women are happier without children or a spouse, says happiness expert. So there was some study and then some expert, Paul Dolan, who says women are happier when they're not married. Again, I'm not even claiming one way or the other. This goes against all mainstream teachings of psychology and biology and science and interpersonal communications and relations, saying that women are happier without children or a spouse. Literally, you can take psych. That's what I'm saying. It's the weirdest thing because I just remember what I was taught in college. I remember the psychology classes I took. And it's literally taught, it's in female biology, it's science, that at a certain time in their lives, in fact, there's even a name for it, it's called baby crazy. Women's bodies are designed to want to procreate and have children. Like, that's the secret. They create life. They have the key. So this is just more anti-human agenda, and it's more of just misery loves company with these women that hate men, and so they can't find a man that wants to be with them because, of course, they hate all men. And so they're miserable. They'll never find a spouse. They'll never have kids. So they just want to impart that misery on every other woman out there. And again, this is not expert. This is not science. Biology and science and psychology says the exact opposite. Women actually will go through periods of deep depression if they do not have a spouse and kids. It's in their psychology. It's literally taught in mainstream psychology. So I just don't understand it. Yeah, I guess Rosie O'Donnell's an example. I just don't understand this. Why did I even go to college and study psychology when as soon as I got out, everything they teach you in college that they've been teaching people for decades because the science is there, the research is there, it's facts, they just say, nope. Like the one professor from UT that said there's no such thing as masculinity. There's no. In fact, women and men have no biological differences or psychological differences. What? Again, that's not what they teach in college. It's not what they teach in psychology. But it's what they teach at liberal brainwashing facilities. But they don't even do that at college. They just wait. And then they put it in publications. And again, it's all about indoctrinating these women that feel slighted or feel left out to empower the single women out there that hate men. So that's all they're trying to do, folks. And then they have this whole thing of feminism, and it's nothing but a bunch of men pretending to be women, the least feminine thing you could do. A bunch of women pretending to be men, claiming that's feminism. So, sadly, it all comes down to people are just miserable. And really, it's probably just personal choice that they make that makes them miserable and undesirable. And so they just want everybody else to be miserable and undesirable. So they say, listen, women, don't get a spouse and don't have kids. You'll be happy forever. Even though all the women that say that are the most miserable, decrepit people you'll ever see. All right, let's take some phone calls here. Let's go to Patricia calling in from California. Go ahead, Patricia.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yep, go ahead.
Yes, you were asking about Joe Biden, why they're picking him. And Leo Zagami on your show was saying that he's the pick of the Vatican. So I just thought that was interesting.
Well, I guess that would make sense. You know, the Vatican's got all this pedophile problems happening, and Biden can't keep his hands off young children. So maybe that's it.
Yeah, and he's got, you know, so much. The Vatican, I'm realizing how much power the Vatican really has. So I think they have a lot more power in the United States than we think they do.
Could be.
And I just wanted to give a shout out to you and having the geoengineering guy on the show. That was awesome, and the products are awesome.
Well, thank you for supporting us at InfoWarsStore.com. And Dane Wigington, by popular demand, is a monthly guest now, so he will be back.
Excited about that. That's been my main fight for years and years is the chemtrails, because here in Southern California, they're just killing us. It's really bad here. So I just was so excited because now he's reaching millions of more people. So that's just awesome. And thank you for the work you do. It's so refreshing to see a young person do what you do. So thank you.
Well, I appreciate that, Patricia. And thank you. If you didn't support us at InfoWarsStore.com, I wouldn't have a platform to do this work. I'm banned everywhere. So thank you. All right, let's squeeze one more phone call in before we go to break. Brian in Maryland, 60 seconds. Go ahead.
Yeah, I have a sort of a bullet testimony. A few months back, I pretty much got sick and my throat was hurting me. It got to the point where basically my voice I wasn't able to talk. I took your silver bullet, and within a few short days, my voice just started to come back little by little by little.
It's an amazing product. There's so much that it can be used for. If you have a cut or an abrasion, it's good for that. If you've got something, you feel like a sickness is coming on, you can just drink some of it. Yeah, if you got a scratchy throat, it can help for that. So anything else, Brian?
No, that's it.
Well, thank you so much, Brian. He's talking about Silver Bullet from InfoWarsStore.com. And again, folks, I mean, if I feel like I've got something coming on, like a cold or something, you drink the Silver Bullet, and it's like it never even existed. InfoWarsStore.com, that's how you support us. We'll be right back.
The War Room. InfoWars.com/show.
Boy, is Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez a selfish moron, complaining on Twitter today because people air the truth about her and her anti-American stance and her anti-free market stance, complaining on Twitter today about hateful messages she receives. What people don't or maybe do realize when organizations air these hateful messages about me, my life changes. Look, you bimbo, you are the one that got into Congress and started coming out as an anti-American moron. But let me tell you something. You know what? Here's what angers me about this. I'm not denying that AOC probably gets death threats and she says she goes through pictures of men that want to kill her. I mean, okay, whatever, freak show. People tell the truth about you, okay? So whatever responses that you're getting, whether they're just or unjust, which I'm not saying they are just, it's because of what you actually say and do. We get lied about and have our lives destroyed, okay? So you're crying up the wrong tree in this country. Man, I'm sick of her. See, I can't even concentrate. This gaslighting that they do. It's like, she knows that liberals lie about Trump all day long, lie about America all day long, lie about conservative reporters all day long in a direct attempt to destroy their lives. All people do about her is quote you exactly. Now, let me just try to put that aside. I cannot believe. She makes me sick. She is so stupid, it hurts. But not as stupid as Ariana Grande. But this is hilarious from Vice, this story today. I'm just going to read this whole thing and try not to laugh through it. Ariana Grande's wax figure is her, minus pretending to be black. You're not going to believe this one. Last week, Madame Tussauds London unveiled the latest victim in its ongoing practice of molding creepy life wax dolls of famous people, Ariana Grande. The wax figure has all the telltale signs of Grande. Hood, oversized sweatshirt, check, thigh-high boots, signature high pony, ring accessories, yada, yada, yada. It can be easy to forget that Grande has worked over time to remove all signs of her Caucasian heritage until you see a version of her with those modifications omitted. So, in an almost sliding doors-esque manner of what if justification juxtaposition, wax figure Ari looks like the younger, paler version of herself before she discovered black culture and then appropriated it. That uncanny facsimile gives us a glimpse into an Ariana who could have been one. Again, so what? If she was white, you'd hate her, but now she's pretending to be black and you still hate her? One who had stuck to the belting out Celine Dion and Barbara Streisand in the backseat of a car and had never been introduced to the wobble at a cookout. Do you see how racist this article is? This is unbelievable. Because, reminder, Grande is 100% white, despite rampant confusion about her race. Grande describes herself as half Sicilian, half Ambrusesi, which is Italian-American speak for white but with a tan. Grande's look has, shall we say, evolved over the years. We came to know her as the child star of Nickelodeon's Victorious and Sam and Cat, sporting her natural Brittany Murphy-style curls and then a punky red ponytail. In those days, her skin was pin-up girl-level fair. Then someone must have served Grande some seasoned chicken and picked the raisins out of her potato salad because homegirl underwent a gradual Jenner Kardashian-esque transformation when she became dramatically more tan, her lips got the Kylie treatment, and her vocals went less Streisand and more Mariah Carey circa breakdown. She started dating rappers and bad boys in Hyper Beast gear. Oh my gosh! Hype Beast? I'm serious. This is one of the most racist articles I've ever seen. I'm not a fan of Ariana Grande. In fact, I literally think she's one of the dumbest humans on earth. It's actually shocking when you hear her talk. She's got a decent voice. But here's the funny thing. The Kardashians aren't black. They're Lebanese. I mean, and the Kardashians are the ones that are pushed by mainstream media. So the Kardashians get pushed and praised by mainstream media. And then a young girl, Ariana Grande, tries to be the Kardashians, and somehow it's her fault, and then they say she's trying to be black. The Kardashians aren't even black, but I guess they date black men, so somehow Ariana Grande is racist for trying to be like the Kardashians, who are pushed by mainstream media, who date black men, and then that's bad, and Grande's not allowed to date black men. This is the most... let's go ahead and finish. The fine craftsman... You know what? I just can't believe it. I think if we heard enough... No, I can't do it anymore. Ariana Grande's wax figure is her, minus pretending to be black. But you want to know what's the most racist about this? Is how they try to appropriate black culture to rap. And what do they say here? Bad boys in hype beast gear. Who wrote this story, by the way? Can you guys pull this up? It's not on my printout here. Who wrote this story? Pull up. Let me see who the author is. Alex Zaragoza? Is he? Oh, that's a girl. Hey, you should see if she... Hey, there's her email right there. Email her and see if she wants to be a guest on the show. I'd really like to hear her explain in words how Ariana Grande is pretending to be black. That is one of the funniest things I think I've ever heard. Pretending to be black. But it's like, that's, I mean, again, the Kardashians are pushed by mainstream media. I guess, quote unquote, black culture, as they say, is mainstream culture. I mean, like, this is hilarious. And again, I'm no fan of Ariana Grande. She even wished her fans would die, and then they got shot up by a terrorist at a concert. So, I mean, I'm not defending Ariana Grande. I don't know if she's trying to be black or not, or what she is, but exactly. But then you have Rachel Dolezal and these others that actually are white pretending to be black, and nobody even says anything, but Ariana Grande is pretending to be black. Oh, my God. The left is out of control. You know what? This Alex girl is probably just jealous that Ariana Grande is better looking than her, maybe. I don't know. Okay. Wow. Do you think she'll come on, guys? Yeah? You think she'll come on? I'm telling you, this. I don't give a crap about Ariana Grande, okay? But this story is hilarious, and I would just love to have the author of this story actually explain to me in so many words how Ariana Grande is pretending to be black, and then I guess how that's a bad thing or how it's racist, and then also how the Kardashians are black, but the Kardashians aren't bad for dating black men, even though they're Lebanese, but Ariana Grande's bad if she wants to date black men. She says, or as the story says, rappers and bad boys in hype gear, which again is racist. What's her name again? Alex Zaragoza. I hope she comes on. Okay. All right. Now, here's more racism against black people. This time from Planned Parenthood. You're not going to believe this clip. Someone called into Planned Parenthood and asked if they could donate money to abort black babies. Here's how it went.
I'm interested in making a donation today.
Fantastic.
What about abortions for the underprivileged minority groups? I want to specify that abortion to help a minority group. Would that be possible? Absolutely. Like the black community, for example?
Certainly.
Okay. So the abortion could be, you know, I could give money specifically for a black baby. That'd be the purpose.
Yeah, absolutely. If you wanted to designate that you wanted your gift to be used to help an African-American woman in need, mm-hmm. Then we would certainly make sure that gift was earmarked specifically for that purpose.
Great, because I really face trouble with affirmative action, and I don't want my kids being disadvantaged, you know, against black kids. I just had a baby. I want to put it in his name, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's definitely possible.
Oh, always, always.
And we just think, you know, the less black kids out there, the better.
understandable. All right. Excuse my hesitation. I'm. This is the first time I've had a donor call and make this kind of request, so I'm excited, and I want to make sure I don't leave anything out. Hello, this is Irene.
Hi. I'm interested in making a donation. I'd like to fund
Idaho,
an abortion.
No, New Mexico.
Okay. I was wondering if that would be possible.
Yes, we can definitely put that.
All right, folks, the full video can be found on the Live Action Twitter account. They did this with multiple Planned Parenthood facilities, folks. So Planned Parenthood's racist. We told you. But now you can call up and say, hey, I'm a white person. I'm sick of all these black babies. Will you make sure they all get aborted? And Planned Parenthood says, absolutely. So keep supporting Planned Parenthood, Democrats, you racists. That does it for the War Room today. You stay classy, Info Warriors.